We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
I want to finish this series this morning, and what I want to do is I want to talk to you about this thought about dominoes. Just this last week, Sharon and I were with very good friends of ours, Jared and Sue Kean. Jared is the guy that led me to the Lord. We grew up together since we were 11 years of age. Jared and I grew up in each other's house. His father was an alcoholic. My mother and father were both alcoholics. We lived in each other's houses. When his family went through a separation, his father ended up living with us for a time, and we grew up in each other's homes. Jared and I were reliving some of our childhood memories. And just recently, Josh, who was in Australia preaching in Jared's church, we were talking about how we had to deal with, when we came home from school and engaging, interacting with our parents, some of the complexities and some of the challenges and the dysfunction. Like, will mum be sober? Will mum be embarrassed and hit my friends if I brought them over because she didn't want to be caught being drunk on the lounge? And, will the police come? Who's going to get arrested? What's going to happen? All of those things was an everyday occurrence in our life. And Jared said to me, when I saw Josh preach, he said, Steve, he has no residue of anything you and I had to deal with. He's been set up for life. Now, the mustache, that's a worry. But he's been set up for life. He goes, now, he'll still have to deal with his calling and still answer it, but he won't have the insecurities and the challenges that we grew up with. You see, the domino effect, everything in my family for generations back were just broken people. My father was a fairly well-to-do, successful family, came from it's like an aristocratic background. My mother was the potato farmer. That's kind of the two different sides, but both of them very broken. Both of them very bound with severe addictions. And when I think about it, their parents died of alcoholic poisoning. In other words, they drank themselves to death. But the moment I gave my life to Jesus, can I tell you, the generational curse was broken. And it's a new day because I met Jesus. And somehow, by the grace of God, we were able to pass on our faith to a yet another generation, and my kids, thank God, will never have to deal with the residue of the things that we had to deal with. And I'm here to tell someone this morning, it doesn't matter what's been in your past, the moment you give your life to Jesus, things change. And the generations from you forward, God looks at you and he sees your children and he sees your children's children. And you can pass on something fantastic to your children in Jesus' name. I talked about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, one will put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000. The Bible says two are better than one. There's something powerful when we get together and we create momentum and we can have a domino effect into the generations to come. Can anybody say amen? I've said this many times, I want to say it again. What walks in the Father runs in the family. I want to talk to you this morning about the domino effect of you meeting Jesus, the difference you can make for the generations to come. Matter of fact, here's a couple of thoughts I've got. You need to make sure that whatever you have in your life, you understand you will pass it on to another generation. Somebody say amen. Both good and bad. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, whatever it is that's in your life, your values, your way of thinking is actually going to be passed on to your children and to your children's children. You've got to make sure there's more good things being passed on than bad. Matter of fact, you want to minimize your weaknesses so they don't get passed on. Would you agree with that? And God works generationally. He says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? And so what are you passing on to the next generation? Both bad and good will be passed on. I'll give you an example. Sharon's probably the kindest person you'll ever meet on planet Earth. She's very wise, she's very discerning, she's very sharp, but she's kind. And so, you know, I used to watch sport. I love watching sport, golf and, you know, maybe baseball. And Sharon to this day thinks that when a pitcher throws the ball and walks a batter, she thinks that's cheating. She thinks that no pitcher should be allowed to walk a batter. And I said, it's great respect for the batter. And it's saying the guy coming up is not as good as the guy they're pitching to. It's strategy. But no, not for Sharon. It's cheating. And so when something like, when someone has a putt in a golf game and they miss the putt on basketball, the free throw, and Sharon goes, they get paid millions of dollars. How could they miss? And I look at her and I say, honey, you're the nicest, kindest person in the world. But when it comes to sport, you have no margin of grace. You're intolerant. You don't understand the pressure of that putt. You don't understand all that's leading into that free throw. And she goes, but they get paid millions of dollars for that shot and they miss. And I go, honey, that is so inconsistent to everything of your life, that there's nothing but love and mercy and grace and kindness. But where does that come from? And then one day, Sharon's mother and father were visiting and we're watching sport, when all of a sudden Sharon's father goes, he gets paid millions of dollars and he misses that putt. I went, that's where it comes from. That's where you got that. You don't know how much you're passing on. But are you passing on by default? Are you passing on by design? You see the domino effect you can have in other people's lives. Can somebody say amen? How many know there's great power in your words? I remember a few years ago, I was talking to somebody who was a friend of mine. And, you know, Australians can be a little bit sarcastic. Have you noticed that? I mean, not me, but all the other ones. And after all, I'm not really Australian. I just have an accent, right? And so, but they can be. They can be very sarcastic. They can be, and sometimes an Australian will say something and they're saying something that if you take it literally, you could get offended. And so this guy who's a friend of mine, he did something and I looked at him and he's in his 50s. And I looked at him and I said, you are such an idiot. Which is my way of saying, I really like you. And that was a really dumb thing to do, but we're all laughing. Little did I know the impact of those words, because he took it literally. And I sensed that our relationship had changed. And I didn't understand everything that happened, except I went to him one day. I said, dude, what seems to be up with you and me? He goes, well, a couple of years ago, you said something that really hurt me. And I went, what did I say? He goes, you called me an idiot. And he told me the place and where we were, and I remember saying what I said, but little did I know the impact that would have on him. I looked at him, I said, my friend, I don't think you're an idiot. I think you're one of the smartest, nicest, most generous people. I said, I am so sorry for that. Tears came to his eyes. He says, you don't understand. My father used to call me that all the time when I was growing up. And because of that hurt and that wound, and when those words came out of my mouth, not only now his father, the authority figure in his life, but his pastor, and he took it as if what his father said. His father said it, but I said it with a different spirit, but didn't mean, nor did I understand the impact it would have on his life. So we are passing things on. So I want to make sure that I'm going to be the kind of person that I want to have the right kind of domino effect in people's lives. I want my words to build faith and encouragement. How many would love to have some of your words back? Come on, how many would like to have some of your words back? I remember last night I was getting on a plane and this lady said to me, could you please move your overhead luggage so I can put my overhead luggage in? And I have to admit, the carnal side of me, when I went, well, there's more overhead luggage just behind, just put it up there. And she looked at me and goes, well, that's not very kind. I said, ma'am, I'll go get your luggage when you leave. And I thought of it and I thought, I should have been kinder. I just had a moment when I felt the Holy Spirit rebuke me for it. It said, you should have said, absolutely. You could have been the kind one. And of course, and then the Holy Spirit said, well, what if she went to your church? And I said, well, that would be really bad. He goes, but what if she didn't go to your church? It would mean no different. I'm just saying. So bad things can end with you. If you give your life to Jesus, it doesn't matter what's in your past, welfare mentality, if there's fear, if there's a poverty mentality, and I don't just mean poverty about when it comes to finances, just thinking poorly. If there's an addiction and habits that have gone generationally, the moment you meet Jesus, all those bad things can come to an end. If any man be in Christ, behold, he's a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. I thank God that my children and my children's children are going to have got something more than what I've had to deal with, and I'm setting up their life for the future. This morning, I had Liv in my arms. She fell asleep in my arms this morning during the worship service. And any chance I have my grandchildren in my arms and I'm in church, I love to prophesy over them. I mean, I prophesy over them all the time, but especially in church as we're worshiping and in the atmosphere where the presence of God is so tangible. And every time I have a grandchild in my arms, all through the worship service, I may not be worshiping how you're worshiping because my worship is hugging them and laying hands on them and prophesying, Liv, you've got the spirit of Esther upon you. Liv, you are a woman of God. I want to pass on my faith and my believing that God is going to use these children in Jesus' name. Good things can start with you. Generosity, faith, blessing, generational change, freedom. It's all a chain reaction. It's all a domino effect. One thing affects another. Look at Proverbs 24. I love this verse. It says, I went by the field of a lazy man, past the vineyard of someone who had no sense. And thorns had come up everywhere. And the ground was covered with weeds. And the stone wall was in ruins. Here is the writer of this book in Proverbs, the wisest man in all the world. He says, I looked at a man's life. And I looked and I saw neglect. Listen to it. Thorns had grown up everywhere. He was a lazy man. He was a sluggard. He says, I passed the vineyard of someone who had no sense. It says the stone wall was in ruins. The ground was covered in weeds. In other words, this man's life was in ruins. And listen to what he said. He goes, and I applied my heart to what I observed. And I learned a lesson from what I saw. And he says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. I want you to notice here, watch this, it's a chain reaction. The Bible says this man's life was in ruins. It says there was thorns growing up everywhere. In other words, it didn't happen overnight. This man, over a series of time, as a result of being little rest, a little folding of the hands, just not dealing with the little weed that's in the garden. And before you know it, there's weeds everywhere. And weeds grow quicker than trees. But at the end of the day, trees dominate. And so just a little neglect. He walked past his life, his vineyard, and he saw a weed. And he goes, I'll get that tomorrow. But then tomorrow comes and he looks at it and he goes, I'll get that tomorrow. And before you know it, this man's got weeds all over his garden, all over his life. He goes, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And then one day poverty is at his door. And this man is shocked by the poverty. Where'd that come from? There was no big thing that he did. There was no major thing that he did. It was just little surrenders, a little sleep, a little slumber. And here is the writer of this book telling us that if we don't pay attention to the little things, it will create a chain reaction where one day you will wake up and say, how did I get here? How did I end up in hospital with this sickness? A little sleep. I'll diet tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, I'll do it tomorrow. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And then one day, you're in shock with the poverty that's on your door. And you're asking yourself, how did that get there? There's no big thing. It's just a series of little surrenders. Somebody say amen. Look what it says here in Song of Songs. It says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in full bloom. Here's the picture the writer is trying to make. Here is a beautiful vineyard, and the vine is in full bloom. The leaves are green. The grapes are succulent and rich and ready to be picked. And it looks wonderful. And you can look at your life, and on the surface, everything looks good. But the Bible says, catch the little foxes. Because if you don't pay attention to the little things, you can't see the foxes. They're underneath the leaves. They're eating and gnawing away at the root system. And they will destroy a whole vineyard. And it's just little things that can destroy what looks like a blessed life. But under the surface, if you're not watching out for the little things, it's the little things that brings poverty. And can I tell you this? It's the little things that brings blessing. Let me show you. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy in someone else's property, who will give you the property of your own? If you can't be a trustworthy renter, don't ever think you'll ever own your own house. Come on, somebody. If you can't be a faithful employee, don't ever think you'll own your own company. If you can't be faithful in what God has entrusted to you in the little things, God will never be able to bring the big things. But if you can show faithfulness and be trustworthy in the little things that you have, that's why I was talking about Devontae. I was watching Devontae. He turns up to work on time. If you just say to yourself, well, it's only just a few minutes. It's only a few dollars. It doesn't really matter. God can never bring the domino effect of blessing he wants unless we learn how to be faithful in the little. Amen? So how many want to hear a couple of things of the wrong? I'm going to talk to you about three things. If you want the negative domino effect, do these three things. Number one, refuse to change. If you want the negative effect, just refuse to change. Just be the kind of person that says, this is who I am. If people don't like me, it's tough. You might want to take a good look at yourself and make sure that you're open to change. You want to make sure that you're open to accountability. You want to make sure you've got people in your life that can say to you, do you know, that's a bad habit. Do you know, the way you're thinking right now is going to actually be the ruin of you. If you don't check yourself, you're going to wreck yourself. You've got to be open to change. I actually think, I said this morning in the 9 o'clock service, and I got a little bit of a reaction, which I figured I would. But I actually think some of the external things are reflections of internal things. I think sometimes we have to be so careful that we don't allow ourselves to get in a rut. I think sometimes we actually get so used to doing same-o, same-o, that we have deliberately got to do things to get us out of that routine. Are you hearing me? Like, for instance, your wardrobe, what you wear. Well, this is just the way it is. If you don't like me, it's tough luck. We're on a cruise ship, and guess what? When we were going to have dinner with the captain, you're not wearing shorts and a T-shirt. Well, I don't care who's the captain think he is. The captain. You might want to recognize the honor and the opportunity that's been given to you. You might want to dress in a way that's appropriate. And some people just go, well, this is who I am. Can I tell you, you've got to be open to change. Some people need to change their wardrobe. You're living in the 70s. Some people may maybe just get a revelation about a haircut. I mean, I've got a watch here that tells me every morning, somehow, I don't know how it does it, but it knows my routine. And every morning, based on where I am and what day it is, it'll tell me how far it is to get to the destination that I normally go to. So I've been away for 2 weeks. And my watch, every morning before I went away, when I got up on a Tuesday morning and I drive to work, usually about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, it would say to me, 9 minutes to Wave Church. And I thought to myself, isn't it funny that even my watch can know my routine? I'm that predictable. So you know what I did this morning? Just to teach my watch a lesson, I went a different way that took me longer to get to church. I think sometimes it's just good to just be open to change. Amen? Change your diet. Come on, change the way you go home. Get rid of some of the old clothes. Buy some new ones. Amen? Just change. Just be open to change, to do things that'll make you feel a little uncomfortable. Put yourself out there. Amen? Here's the second thing. Surround yourself with people who've got no big dreams. Just eat with the same sloppy attitude you've always ate with. You got sloppy clothes. You're a sloppy friend. You go to a sloppy restaurant. You eat sloppy food. You have a sloppy conversation. And before you know it, you surround yourself with slop. Here a slop, there a slop, everywhere a slop slop. Old McDonald had a slop. And all you're doing is reinforcing a lifestyle that's not going to bring the domino effect you want in your life. You got to get yourself around people who challenge you, who make you feel like there's more to life than just living sloppy, more to life than just same-o, same-o, more to life than just having the same conversation day after day, week after week. Some people have the same conversations about a hurt that happened 10 years ago. Could you get a new offense? Could you move on? If you're going to have a problem, at least have a new one every few months. At least be going somewhere with your problems. Come on, somebody. You got to get around people who actually have got big dreams. But if you want the wrong kind of moment, just hang out with the same old sloppy slops. Amen. Don't challenge you. Don't inspire you, but help you feel good about where you are, and therefore you stay the same. And here's the last one. If you want to bring the wrong kind of effect, have no respect for time. Just one day is as good as another. Amen. The five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. Do you know why the virgins were wise? What made them wise? The Bible says that the bridegroom was delayed in his coming. And so as a result of that, these five wise virgins made sure that if and whenever he came, there'd be enough oil. The five foolish virgins were foolish because they just thought, well, we can always get some oil tomorrow. We can get some more oil in the morning. It doesn't matter. And they obviously habitually lived that way till one night the bridegroom came. And these five virgins said to the foolish virgins, said to the five wise virgins, hey, could you give us some of your oil? And I love this. Listen to me. The five wise virgins, you would have thought they would have said, well, we'll share. No, you know what they said? Get your own oil. And sometimes as a pastor, I feel like saying to people, come on, get your own faith. Don't live off everybody else's faith. Stop believing that someone's going to pay off your house. Stop believing someone's going to come and write you a check. Get your own faith. Believe God for your blessing. Come on, create a domino effect. Stop believing that someone is going to come and do something for you. You be the person that's got enough oil in your life. Should the bridegroom delay, you've got enough oil in you that you can answer the call when the time comes. But these foolish ones, they're the kind of people who live on minimum. They're the kind of people who live on just enough of God to get by. They're the kind of people who just pray prayers when it comes to grace. They're the kind of people who maybe just do a token prayer with the kids. But come on, get your own faith. Pass on your faith to your children. Come on, you can have a domino effect. Don't just pass on the fact that you go to church, but teach them you love church, you love God, you love life, you love people, and you're about making life better in Jesus' name. Don't just live on the minimum. Don't just live on the scraps of God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Get your oil. Come on, get your oil. Get your oil. Don't just pray little prayers. Pray big prayers. Pray dangerous prayers. God, use me. And then someone goes, I feel used. That's what you pray for. Amen. Listen to what Solomon said. He goes, I've seen everything else under the sun. He says, the race is not for the swift. And it's not to the swift, rather. Or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to us all. See, some people could look and say, oh, that person's got a blessed life because they've just got the right friends. Someone could say, well, that person's strong. But listen to the writer of Ecclesiastes. The race is not for the swift. You don't have to be the fastest runner. It says the battle is not to the strong. You don't have to be the strongest person. Or food come to those who are to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor for the learned. But time and chance, everybody here has been given a time and a chance. And what you do with your time and what you do with your chance, you got to respect time. Amen. Listen to one more time. The Bible says the wise man looked at a man's life that was in ruins and overgrowth and neglect. And he goes, he came to a place of poverty because of a little sleep, a little slumber. 5 minutes late for work, it doesn't matter. But it does in the eyes of God. All right, turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking to me, not you. I want to give these three things real quick. Listen to it. Number one, if you want to get the right domino effect, you got to know the power of just getting something started. Can I tell you, there's great power in just getting something started. There's tremendous power in just making a decision. I'm going to do this. I know my mother for years tried to stop smoking. She was a chain smoker her whole life from a little teenage girl. And my mother said, I'm going to quit smoking. Do you know how long it took her? It took her 3 years. Do you know how many times she quit smoking? Hundreds, if not thousands of times. She'd go 2 days and then she'd have a cigarette and she felt so bad. And I used to say, Mom, don't feel bad. You've gone 2 days without smoking. You're breaking it. You're dealing with it. Shame off you, Mom. Well done. Quit again. Don't quit quitting. Don't give up on it. Listen to the word of the Lord. Listen to it. This is what God thinks when you make a positive decision. When you just get started. When you go to the gym and you've run for 30 minutes and you've seen all you burn is 500 calories and you've got so much weight that you want to lose. And there's no immediate effect and change to how you look. But you've started. You've begun something positive in your life. Listen to what the Bible says. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begun. The moment you got up out of your sloppy lifestyle, the moment you made a decision, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to diet, I'm going to be more punctual, I'm going to do something to build strength and favor and momentum in my life. The moment you do it, God's smiling. The Lord rejoices. Well done, daughter. Well done, son. You may not have done it perfectly, but you started it. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Amen. I think that's good preaching right there. It says at once they followed him. Go to the gym. Reduce your debt. If you're faithful with $5 and you take that $5 rather than just use it for a chance to spend it and you put it in the bank, and then another dollar comes here, another $5 comes here. It's the little things. And you start putting that money aside to reduce debt. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. You might have a $10,000 credit card debt. You might be overwhelmed with an IRS bill. But can I tell you something? If you just begin to get it started, you've got God's attention. And God's going to back you up in Jesus' name. What difference is $5? Talk to Dave Ramsey and look at what he says about the power of breaking debt on your life. And if you can pay attention to the little things and build a little bit of momentum and just begin to get the snowball effect, before you know it, you're going to have an avalanche of just reducing debt. It's faithful in the little things. Amen. Number two, you got to live with a generational mindset. A generational mindset. Look at me. Look at me. A generational mindset. You got to be looking at your children and your children's children. I am living on planet Earth to make a difference in my generation. The Bible says David served the will of God, served his generation by the will of God, and then he fell asleep. I do not want to fall asleep before I've served my generation. I want to make my mark. I want to live full and I want to die empty. I want to be somebody who is generationally minded, not just thinking about myself, but I'm believing for Hampton Roads. I'm believing for the United States that God can do something great. And I'm thinking generationally. I'm not just thinking about me. I'm thinking about the generations to come. I'm a Christian today because my friend's mother's neighbor saw them go through a divorce. And she was trying to reach out to this family that was broken, had no trust in the police. Her husband was a policeman and he used to beat them, the wife and the kids. The police would come as a result of the beatings. But because he was a policeman, he told him, my wife's crazy. And the police never dealt with it. And then they grew up in a church background where it was just bells and smells. And along comes a Christian lady trying to witness to this woman who's broken, whose marriage is over, her children are damaged. And this mother said, I'm not interested in God. But this little old lady said, God, somehow I've got to reach this family. They need love. They need to know, God, you love them. You know what she did? She found a way to get to them. She started baking cakes. And she brought over a cake and she brought over food and they received the food. And finally, over a period of time, she wore them down and they started asking her, would you have a meal with us? Could we spend time with you? And then she shared her faith in Jesus, which caused that woman to give her life to Jesus. That woman talked to her son. Her son is Jerichean. Jared then talked to me. And Jared, who found Jesus, led me to Jesus. And I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people's lives who've been impacted by that woman's baking a cake in Jesus' name. You've got to be thinking more than just yourself. You got to be thinking, shit, that little woman, when she gets to heaven, hundreds of thousands of people's lives have been ever changed because she baked a cake. Amen. Thank God she wasn't just thinking about herself. Listen to this. I was old. That's not me. I was young, rather. That is me. And now I'm old. I feel like I'm in that in-between place, Toby. What about you? It says, I was young. And now I'm old. I don't think I'm neither young or old. Age is an attitude. I was young, David said. David, I was young. I was the shepherd boy that looked after the few dirty sheep. And nobody knew my name. But when I was young, I used to write in the field and I'd write, the Lord is my shepherd. As I shepherd these sheep, as I look after these sheep who no one knows, but I know them. I was young, and I remember writing poetry and songs. He goes, and now I'm old. And thank God he wasn't an old person that just sat at a buffet somewhere with his old friends and had old stories. Listen to what he said. I was young, and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. David said in Psalm 71, oh God, please do not let me go until I declare your power to the next generation. Church, we've got to be generationally minded in Jesus' name. When it comes to worship and music, and some who might think the music's too loud or the lights are too bright, friends, it's not for you. We're thinking about the generations that we're yet to reach in Jesus' name. Would you lay down your preference of what you like for the sake of the generations to come? And somebody get excited. You got to ask yourself, am I passing on my faith? Have you got eternity in your heart? What will outlive you in Jesus' name? Amen. Here's the last thing. If you want to build the right kind of domino effect, can I say this? Stay creative. Are you hearing me? Stay creative. Look at me now. You got to stay creative. In your marriage, you got to stay creative. In your job, you got to keep on reinventing yourself. You got to stay creative in Jesus' name. Here's a question you should ask yourself. How can I bless my, and you fill in the blank. How can I bless my children? How can I bless my husband, my wife? How can I bless my boss? How can I bless my church? The domino effect. Soon we'll be taking a cash offering, believing God to be able to do all sorts of improvements and buy buildings and do all sorts of things. That's how you can bless your city. Seaboard Road's getting a new outdoor play center right here at Great Neck. How many of these buildings 10 years old? This building. We need some new furniture all over the lobby. They all need to be replaced. And I said, tell me how much it's going to cost. Then they told me. I went, flip. And see, no one person can necessarily just write a check for all the things that we want to do. But together, one will put 1,000, two will put 10,000. Can you imagine the domino effect as we all work together with one cause and one mission and one purpose to see the house of God be everything that God wants it to be in Jesus' name? Look for ways of motivating others. I want Wave Church to be a Roger Bannister church. I want us to be the kind of church that breaks the 4-minute mile. Things that people thought couldn't be done in churches can be done right here in Jesus' name. Can anybody say amen? Let's be the kind of people that when we think about being creative, the Bible says, in the beginning, God, it says, created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless. It was void. It was empty. There was dark. There was darkness. There was chaos. There was nothing. And out of nothing, God said, let there be light. I was just in Alaska. I saw the glaciers coming off the side and melting and falling into the water. The sound that it makes, it's so loud, yet you've never heard it unless you've been there. It sounds like a sonic boom as I brace away and falls into the waters. And I'm thinking, God, you made that. And yet you made Hawaii with the palm tree. And then, God, you made Iceland. And then, God, you made Africa. And then, God, Australia, a platypus. What kind of an animal is a platypus? And then, God, you made everything. I just go, God, there was nothing. And some people tell me, I'm bored. The God who created the heavens and the earth lives in you, and you are made in the image of God. How could you be bored? Get creative. Come on. God is his resources. There's no end to it. There's no end. There's no searching. There's no fathoming as to the universe and the galaxy and the stars and this, the multiplication of what God's created. And somebody's bored? If you know God, you can't be bored. If you know God, you got to stay creative in the name of Jesus. Get out of the box. Get out of the boat. Don't have a boring marriage. Don't have a boring life. What can I do to spice up my marriage? It's not what some of you are thinking. It's not more sex. It's more love. It's more romance. It's more creativity. Sometimes it's this. Listen, ready? Write this down. Sometimes it's just actually spending more time. Amen? And the time you do have together, it's intentional. It's calculated. Amen? There's creativity to it. Let's have some fun. Let's do things together. Let's not just hang out together. Let's do something together. I said to Sharon, what do you want to do for your anniversary? And she goes, I want to go to Alaska. We can make that happen. Just this last October, I was sitting down with Josh and Brooke, and I said to Brooke, where is there somewhere in the world you'd love to go? And Brooke says, I've never really been to London or France. I looked at Sharon. I said, we can make that dream come true. There's got to be some benefit to all these freaking fly points. So we took Josh and Brooke and Liv, Jared and Alyssa, and Jax and Lennon. We didn't take Sam and Laurie because they moved to Texas. Now, they were already committed to be with Laurie's parents. And it was just a simple thing. I went, honey, I'll just look at how many freaking fly points I got. And we put it together and we took them all to Europe. I just made that my daughter-in-law's dream come true. So easy for me. Just took a little bit of thought, a little bit of planning, a little bit of prioritizing. Took her to the Eiffel Tower. Took her to Notre Dame, which, by the way, is a good thing we went then because it's in a bit of trouble right now. Went to the Louvre. Beautiful. And do you know what happens? I'm in England. And I got a picture of Hampton Roads going, it can be saved. Sometimes some people just need to get out of Hampton Roads. Get in your car and go somewhere you've never been before. Go to Myrtle Beach. Go to New York. Get out of same-o, same-o. Don't live a boring, boxed-in life. The domino effect you can have, the magnitude, you think bigger. You start thinking life's hard and marriage is tough and finances are hard. No, 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 no. You just got to get people around you in Jesus' name. Do you receive the word? Come on, the domino. Anybody inspired today? Anybody inspired today? Come on. Let's get the domino effect. For your children, your children's children, for the generations. Hampton Roads has got to be shaken with the glory of God, with the power of God. It's not going to be just same old Christians turning up singing the same old songs. It's good to sing new songs. It's a sign you're open to change. Amen. Oh, back in the good old days. They weren't that good old days. I mean, there was a day, young people, when things like email did not exist. Amen. Internet did not exist. You had to pick up a phone and it was attached to a wall and had a cord on it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many remember dial-up modem? And now we just want everything. Be open to change. Some people, when an app gets updated, people go, oh, I like the old one. It's a sign. Be open. What new thing can I learn? Amen. What can I do on my marriage to make it even better? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better dad? I ask myself all the time, I want to be the coolest, funnest grandparent that our grandchildren ever knew. I want my grandchildren saying, we want to hang out with Skipper. We don't like you, Mum and Dad. It's the house of yes. Amen. It's called revenge on your children. Can I pray for you? How many want the right domino effect in your life? How many, seriously, you want the right domino effect? I pray you take this message today. I pray you listen to it. I pray you get the CD. And let God speak to you again. Because I actually think the Holy Spirit's creative. I actually think if you'll sit down and just talk to God and say, God, what can I do to bless my... And let God fill in the blank for you. And God might say, you know what? We're just in Seattle. We saw all these homeless people. The easiest thing in the world is to get desensitized to that. The easiest thing in the world is just to go, phew. And you can use a scripture like I read a moment ago to maybe in your own mind justify people's poverty. I don't think the scripture there is talking about a homeless person. I think it's talking about somebody who has wasted all that God has given them. That they're living on just a little oil, the minimum, rather than the oil God has for them. Can you say amen? When was the last time you gave a homeless person $5? I know some people go, oh, damn, you know, all they'll do is spend it on alcohol. What if they do? You've made their day. I mean, seriously, what if they do? I mean, who cares? Well, I'm going to buy you food. Just give them $5 and let them decide what to do with it. Some of you don't like that. It's good. Be open to change. Amen. Talk about the music. And you go, yeah, I relate to that. Good. Be open to change. Be open. What? You know, I used to like it when I had access to the pastor. The church has grown. I don't have access to the pastor anymore. Okay, what you're saying is you don't like the fact that the church is growing. Be open to change. Come on, somebody. I just like a small church. Like you like a small God and a little oil. We're called to change our city. We're called to be a Roger Bannister church, to break the 4-minute mile. Hampton Roads is yet to see all that God wants to do in Jesus' name. Come on, be creative. Write a song. Who cares if nobody sings it? You wrote one. Write a book. Who cares if nobody reads it? You wrote it. David was not sitting down writing, one day God's going to take this song and it's going to go around the world. No, David was just reflecting, oh God, you are my shepherd and in you I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And out of that relationship that David had with God, God goes, I'm taking that poem and I'm making it the most famous piece of spiritual literature that has ever been written. David wasn't writing with that intent. He was just expressing his love for God. Get creative. I got to close. I just looked at the time. Sorry, I've been away. Yeah, I know when I'm away, you finished at 12:20, right? On the dot. Your pastor's back. Praise the Lord. I got to finish. I do. I got to finish. Get the CD. Get the CD. Listen to it. Because I promise you, you listen to it again. When you listen to it, the Holy Spirit's going to go, oh, and there's this. And oh, there's that. And oh, there's a new business. There's a new client. There's a new friend. Amen. Don't just have the same comfort around you all the time. I'm going to start preaching again. Stop it. Can I pray for you? If you don't know Jesus, think about it. Generations of alcoholism and addiction and dysfunction. The moment I let Jesus, a whole new domino effect has started. My friend, if you would meet Jesus today, can I tell you? You don't know how much you're setting yourself up and your seed and your children and your children's children to live a life of blessing and overcoming and impact and influence. There's more to life than just paying the bills and going to work and just going through the motions. There's a God in heaven who created the heavens and the earth that knows you and loves you and has a plan and a purpose for your life. It's not just to blend in. It's not just to do what cross the T's and dot the I's. It's to live a life of influence. It's to do something with your life that nobody else could do because God created you. Can I pray for you? I want to pray for you this morning. I'd ask everybody in a moment when we pray, if you say, Steve, I do not know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, I'm away from God, but I want to come home. I'm going to ask you, just while we're in prayer, if you'll just take your hand and put it in the air, high enough and long enough for me to see it. Everybody online as well, I'm talking to you. And my time is over. I'm sorry. I do need to finish. I need to respect time. I need to practice what I preach. But I'm going to ask you very quickly when we pray, if you say, Steve, pray for me. I don't know him as you speak of. Steve, include me in that prayer. Come on, let's all close our eyes. Thank you. Let's all close our eyes. And if that's you, put your hand up. That's it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. Who else? Just put your hand up nice and high so I can see it. God bless you over there. God bless you over there. Come on. Keep lifting them. God bless you over there. God bless you right there. I'm looking for you right now. God bless you, sir. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. I'm looking for others who would just raise your hand. Say, Steve, you're talking to me. Steve, include me in that prayer. God bless you. Young man right there. I see you. God bless you. I saw that hand shoot up. Yeah, thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Anybody else, quickly lift it up if you haven't already. I'll pray with you and for you, and then I'm going to close the service in Jesus' name. Anybody else, quickly lift it up. Yeah, thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Church, can we give a hand? There were so many people who lifted their hands. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Let's not give him a golf clap. People just met Jesus. Their eternity is forever going to change. The generations coming after them will be better and blessed. Amen. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I am now a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.